Yo.
There we go. Also, when I was getting the text with the link didn't light up. So I didn't know what to do, but then like the second time you sent it, it activated. So, yeah. Anyway, sorry for the delay.
No, you're fine. You know, I think sometimes I don't know what it is with the link, but I think you get a certain amount of time to join. I don't know, it's weird. But, you know, you here, so that's all that matters. You know, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I said, you know, a little banter. Yeah. So, you know, how's your day? How's your day been?
It's been all right. I'm grateful for all days, you know. It was rainy here. Well, and overcast. And, you know, one of those kind of days.
I feel that, you know.
Not awesome. Not awesome, but not bad.
No, I definitely feel that. You know, for me, I don't even really want to get into the depths of what happened today. I'm just glad it's done. I'm glad it's done. I've been looking forward to this since last week, you know, and we're here.
Yes.
We are here. But, you know, we're about to get it started real quick. So, welcome to another episode of Vibe With Me. I'm your host, Rashad, and today I have a special guest. Her name is April Fletcher. Please introduce yourself.
This is April Fletcher. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Now, I know you do a lot of things, but for the people that don't know you, what would you say that you're most known for?
Being a bass player for Climax specifically. But I'm not the original bass player, but I just played with them for a long time. For like 5 years.
You in the mix. So do y'all still tour, or what's the case with that?
Well, I'm not they're still together, or you know, the folks I was playing with and you know, the band, the original members several of them have their versions of the band, so that makes things a little confusing at times.
Okay.
But yeah, they're still doing stuff. Of course, you know, over the last year, nobody's had gigs, so there's that. Right. But I know that they are Cheryl Cooley, who's the leader and guitar player. Yeah, I know, you know, they're hanging out looking for gigs like everybody else. I think they probably have some stuff, you know, probably lined up. I haven't spoken to her in a bit because I've not been in LA for a minute. But yeah, we chat every now and then.
That's cool. Now, I got a question that I always wanted to ask somebody that's in a band. And you are the person that have been, you're the first person I've ever had to do an interview with that's been in the band. So I got to ask this question. How often, or if any, did y'all fight as far as anything y'all had to try to do? Was there like any times that y'all didn't see eye to eye, or somebody didn't come to a show, or whatever case may be?
I have never had that experience in any band I've ever been in. And Climax in particular is Cheryl's band. So we are participants in that supporting her. But yeah, everybody's cool, you know, or, you know, we don't have beefs with each other. So it's a non-issue. I know that other bands have that kind of tension or whatever going on, but, you know, everybody has their little irritations every now and then, but that doesn't ever really manifest itself in a negative way.
Yeah.
And you know, well, I guess there's on stage and off stage. Those are two kind of different experiences. But, you know, when you're performing, everybody's has the same goal, and you want to put on a good performance for the people that are there supporting you, the people that are there who love you and want to see you, you know. So you want to do good for them. And then actually, you know, when you get off stage, a lot of times you're kind of still in that. You're just not on stage because people, folks come up and, you know, talk to you for and take a lot of pictures and that kind of thing. But yeah, no, I have not had the experience of being in a band where there's been fighting with any band I've ever been in.
So if you could name your favorite place y'all ever performed, where would it be?
LA Forum, because that was awesome. A while back, I can't remember when it was several years ago. We did a show at the Los Angeles Forum where the Lakers used to play, but you know, they have the Staples Center now. And it was right after they redid the Forum. So everything was new. It was really cool. And it was a big show. There were other bands, other old school bands that were on the show too. And I think the show was sold out. So, you know, that was kind of rock star level stuff, you know, to be in a space like that for a really big show and for, you know, 20 or 30,000 people. That was cool.
Oh yeah, y'all was lit there.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, and every time I hear, I keep hearing so many things about LA. It's making me feel like I need to visit. And because, like I said, I got friends out there, and I've never gone to go see them, but I think I'm going to make a trip either end of this year or maybe early next year. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to being in a band and playing your position, what made you want to choose this band that you chose?
Well, with Climax in particular, that actually was an interesting situation. I can't remember. Cheryl was looking for a bass player, and I can't remember. She had something posted somewhere. I can't remember where I saw her posting for it, for a bass player. But at the same time, we had a mutual friend that told me that she was looking for a bass player. So I responded to the posting, not knowing that it was Climax. Okay. But the mutual friend also suggested me. So I think the universe said that I kind of needed to be in that band since it came at me from two different angles at the same time.
Yeah.
So that's how I ended up in that. Other bands that I've been in have just formed organically. You know, it was just, you know, we wanted to collaborate together, or, you know, or just like playing music together. So it kind of happened that way.
Yeah, because I know for me growing up, I mean, I didn't play a lot of instruments. I only played one instrument. I used to play drums. Mm-hmm. It never led nowhere because I gave it up. So used to take little lessons and everything. And I thought I was getting good. I have a little drumsticks and everything. Take my little drumsticks everywhere. I feel like you ain't no drummer. You ain't got your drumsticks on you all the time. And like I said, I didn't think long term with it. Like, I didn't say to myself, like, you know what? I'm gonna see if I can get into like a little band, or maybe a musician might need, you know, backup drum players. I didn't think nothing of it. I just had the sticks and I just stopped. Like maybe 14, 15, I stopped altogether. Like, I never picked them back up again.
Mm-hmm.
But I always think about it. Like, every time I see, you know, my drummer at my church play, I always say to myself, like, I could have stayed with it.
Yeah, and you know what? If you want to play, you still got time.
Yeah.
Pick up those drumsticks again.
Because I'd be looking, you know, like, and then, like, they always, I don't know if you ever heard this before, but they always be like, you know, they say every group got a whore, and they say normally the whore of the group be the drummer, but some people say it's the lead singer. So, I mean,
I'm not gonna touch that.
Well, yeah,
I know too many of all of those people.
Yeah, and I feel like it could be either or, because, you know, they both got strong positions in the band. So I think mainly be the lead singer though. But
they like. In the balance, though, of folks, well, I guess it's all perception, But like, from an audience point of view, more people notice the lead singer typically than notice the drummer. Drummers are awesome, and you know, drummers are my best friend in the band because I'm the bass player. We, you know, we work together like very, very, very directly.
Yeah.
But you know, like the lead singer and the lead guitar player are the two most noticeable people on stage.
Yeah, they're out front. Yeah, they're out front.
Exactly. And they take the leads. Like the lead guitar player is playing the guitar solo, so you notice that person. And the lead singer, well, you know, they're up there singing the whole time. And then everyone else is, it's, then that just becomes a personal choice of the audience member on who they focus on. Probably the least noticeable is typically the bass player, I think, but that's fine. I'm cool with that.
Yeah, I think it also depends on like what you into as well. Like some people live for the spotlight. Like
yes.
they want to be seen. Then you got some people who don't want to be seen, they just want to be heard. So yeah. It all depends.
And you know, and yeah, different instruments have different functions. Yeah, it just depends. And I think maybe even sometimes it depends on the kind of music that you're listening to, on who stands out.
Yeah.
You know, at, you know, what times. But yeah, I like kind of being in the background. But you know, at heart, I want to be a drummer. I want to start taking drum lessons next year. I kind of decided that a few weeks ago because I've always wanted to play drums, like always. Always have wanted to play drums, and I don't know how to play drums. I mean, I can sit down and do something, but I don't really know how to play drums.
Yeah, and that's the thing too, you know, like, and I'm glad you spoke on that, because one thing that I've always wanted to do that I never did is I always wanted to learn how to play the piano / electric keyboard. Oh, they mm-hmm. looking so dope.
Yeah. Well, piano's my first instrument. So that's where I come from musically. So yeah, I actually started like my way a long time ago background is classical piano. I actually went to college playing classical piano. So, you know, I explore music. So, you know, I went to some other places.
Yeah, ain't nothing wrong with that. Now, what you studied in college and you've been in a band, where's one place that y'all went as a band that you thought you would never go musically?
Musically?
Yeah. Like, say, because I know you said y'all performed at the LA Forum, but where's somewhere that y'all may have went to that you may have said to yourself, like, you back there, you know, with your instrument, you said to yourself, you know what, I never thought we'd be here either. Like, if you could pick, like, a number two.
Well, you said musically, so that means something, I think, different to me, maybe, than what it means to you. Because I don't have any limitation on where I think that I will go musically. I just assume that I will go everywhere. So that doesn't really surprise me, but I can tell you musically, and this is not Climax, but for me personally, musically, some of the most interesting music that I've done is playing Eastern European folk music.
Oh, how was that?
Awesome.
It sounds interesting. I don't even know what that is, but it sounds
exactly. So that's what I mean. So when you say like where I've gone musically, that means like something really, really, really different to me. I've never been to Eastern Europe, but one of the people in the band actually is a really well-known classical guitarist from Eastern Europe. His name is Miroslav Todic. And he's an incredible musician, but he's someone that I studied with, and a friend of mine was also studying with him. It was a whole thing. friend of mine invited me to play, and actually it was shortly after I had just really picked up the bass. But that music is, like I said, it's folk music from that region. And it's in something that's called odd meters. Like most American music, I'm sorry, I'm going to go into like a tad bit of music theory just for a second. Most American music is in 4/4. It has four beats to okay. it. Sometimes it's in 6/8 or 3/4, which is like a waltz, that waltz kind of feel to it. Music from that region can be in 5, it can be in 7, it can be in 11, 13, 17, and 21. So it, the feel of it is completely different than, actually, here's an example of something that's in 5. You know the Mission Impossible theme?
Yeah.
That's in 5. That's why it feels kind of different than most music that you probably listen to. But yeah, that's something that's in 5. So it kind of has it has a different groove to it. And yeah, that's the cool thing to me, is making that music or feeling that music and having a groove to it is what makes it fun. Sorry, I go into Nerdville, so I apologize.
No, you're fine. There's nothing wrong with hipping people on some game as far as some things about music that they don't know. I love yeah. music. And that's another reason why I have this platform. It's not just for musicians, but I always, if I can come across one that I feel like is interesting, I definitely want to talk about it. Because everybody got a story, and sometimes people feel like their story doesn't get told or they're not heard. And I want to be a person and let people get heard. So right. I don't have to do that, but I choose to take on this task, you know. So, and that's the thing too, like when I was younger, you know, my family, you know, well, not my family, my mother basically, you know, she always made us do things we didn't want to do as far as it came to music. Like we had to play, or she made us get in the drums. Then she made us be in the choir, you know, it was just like, until you can make a decision for yourself, you did what was asked of you.
Right.
You know, so I was just like, and I really hated the choir. I was like, I need this. I did. Because I couldn't stay focused.
Yeah.
And I wasn't already there because I wanted to be there. She made me be there. And you got to wear the stupid little robe. And they got to sing the song. You don't want to sing. You don't even want to be in. You don't even want to go up the steps. So I definitely get it when your heart not in it. And all I'm doing the whole time is looking down at the drummer because he's looking the coolest. We had yeah. the coolest drummer at my church ever. Like, he played the drums the whole time I went to that church. And I went to that church for a long time. And I was just like, he still, they never got a new drummer. It was the pastor's son. But he played the drums forever. And I guess he played so he had bad knees or whatever. But he played forever.
Yeah.
I used to be like, oh, he's so cool. So.
Well, church drummers now. Church drummers, there's some, like, yeah, a lot of church drummers are on a whole other level in an amazing way. Like, yeah, church drummers are no joke.
And then they be having that church swag too.
Exactly.
Like, y'all the coolest ever. Shout out to all the church drummers. I really had to go down memory lane. I'm telling you, man, we just got on the drums and I really had to shout them out, man, because I know it's so many church drummers that be just fly and, you know what I'm saying?
I got to do, like, since you're talking about church drummers, I got to give a shout out to Pockets, who's the drummer for Climax. She's a church drummer.
Shout out to Pockets.
Shout out to Pockets. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I can name any drummers that I felt like were definitely a fly drummer, of course it would have to be my drummer in my old church, you know, Morris, Morris Jr., and then, you know, the drummer at my church, Brittany Brooks, you know. I feel like you got to give people their roses. You do.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially when they don't.
Yeah.
You know, like you be seeing. And then I think the one thing that amazes me the most about church drummers is, like, especially when they playing and then the choir director, say the song over, but then the spirit hit. Now you got to, like, jump back in on that same tone that you was on. I be thinking that's so cool. Like, you didn't already stop because you thought the song was over.
Then right.
The spirit hit. Now you gotta rev everybody back up. Da, 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 and you right back on all that. Hey, that do it right there.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Joe, I really respect that.
Yeah, I did a little. Actually, now that I mentioned a couple of people, if you don't mind, I got to mention a couple of people because I don't want to leave them out.
Go ahead.
My other sisters in Climax, I already mentioned Cheryl Cooley. She's OG from original Climax. Pockets, the drummer. And Christy Malone, who's the lead singer. She's freaking amazing. And my girl, Maggie Danick, who's on keys. So I don't want to leave anybody out since I've dropped a few names at different parts of the conversation, but I love them all. So I don't want to, you know, leave any names missing.
Nah, that's cool. This is your interview. Shout out to the whole Climax. So, but that's what I'm saying. That's what we do it for. This platform is what we're doing for. I want to interview the whole Climax. I don't care if it's one by one.
Indeed.
Email them all, because everybody got a different story. I want to hear all the stories from the band. Email everybody.
All right.
Yeah.
I will.
I'm trying to get all these bands out here. So, because people don't really get to tell their story, man. It'd be a dude that played a flute. Nobody want to hear nothing that he go through. I want to talk to the dude playing the flute. Yeah. What be on your mind? You know, what made you want to pick up the flute? That is an instrument don't nobody really want to play. Why did you decide you wanted to be the flute man? That's like saying you want to play the clarinet. It look cool, but who want to be blowing all the dang time? So.
Well, it depends on what music they're listening to.
Yeah.
And most flute players, just so you know, most flute players play saxophone.
Yeah, my brother-in-law, he played a saxophone. He yeah. Make it look cool, too, man. He pull it out that case. I be like, oh, boy, you about yeah. to kill him.
Yeah. And then, you know, so, yeah, sax players and flute players, they can play, you know, they can play those instruments. So you might have somebody, you might have a band. Okay, here's an example, Sade.
Oh, I love Sade.
She's got a dude, and I mean, she's always got a sax player. I guarantee that sax player can also play flute. So if she needs a flute player, he can just, you know, pull out the flute, and there you go.
I want to talk to him and Sade. I don't know if Sade would take the interview, but I can try. You know,
you can try.
Hey, she might take it.
She might say yes. You never know until you ask.
She might send me into superstardom. What? Yes. I got some questions for Sade.
I think actually, this is random, but I think she has an album coming out soon. I've heard murmurings of it. Actually, like a couple of months ago, I was on Instagram and Questlove was doing a live, whatever. He was doing a live DJ thing and he said something about it. And I think I heard someone else about it. Anyway, I don't know any of those people. I just love Sade. So I'm just saying.
I'm reaching out. I want to reach out to her, Quest. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I need to find out. I know they got managers, of course. So, you know, you got to do it the right way. So you got to reach out to their managers. You know what I'm saying? Your people. I don't got no manager yet. But, yeah, so, you know, I'm going to reach out to them. They reach out to me. And, oh, you know, in case somebody wants to step up, you know, be the manager. But, yeah, so I'm going to see what's up. Especially Questlove, because, you know, I used to always, I remember one time I seen him in Union Station. He was walking with that big afro. He had the little pick in there.
Right.
And he was walking through catching the bus or whatever he was doing. But I saw him. I'm like, oh snap, they go Questlove. I didn't want to blow up the spot, so I ain't say nothing. Because, you know, sometimes you meet celebrities and they don't be friendly. They don't have to. But yeah. I was just like,
he's a drummer. I don't know him, but he's a drummer, so I just assume he's cool. Because most a lot of drummers are really cool.
Yeah, they be cool as a mug. And he was walking with his stick, so you know he meant business. He was ready to be banging on some buckets.
Yeah. Yeah. So, he may come from doing that for all you know. So yeah.
I love the drummers that be on the street corners and they be having the buckets. They be having a whole setup. You thinking they poor, they ain't poor. They showing love. You gotta start somewhere.
Well, you gotta start somewhere, but one, a lot of those folks are really, really, really good and they make some good tips too. Yeah. I mean, you know, sometimes they're out there, you know, for hours and hours and hours, but yeah, they're, and I bet you a lot of them are, you know, they have a drum set and they play in bands. This just might be, you know, something they're doing during the day.
Yeah, they might just do that to, like, you know, make the time go by.
Yeah, and it's good practice too, probably.
Yeah, what do you think? They might just do it to just go show love to the folks sometimes.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Make someone's day a little bit brighter.
Oh, man. I would love that. Yeah. So that's my next project. I ain't gonna give anything out on the pod. But, you know, me and you, we're going to talk. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And we definitely going to chop that up. Because I got some plans in the work. I mean, I know you ain't my manager. But, you know, we're definitely going to talk. And, yeah, because I got some things I'm gonna need your opinion on. But yeah, we're gonna keep carrying on. But yeah, so that's why I'm so glad that we're talking about this, because you going down memory lane, I'm going down memory.
Uh-oh. Can you say that again? You dropped out just for a hot second.
No, I said we did a lot of shout outs already, but I said if you got some more shout outs later, we can definitely shout people out, you know what I'm saying? So right. I have no issues with that. You know, like I said, this is your episode. I'm just a facilitator, but I'm just here to wave the flag. Like, all right, you good? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You want them too? Yeah. But I hope to get into a space soon where, like I said, you know, like I said, you got to start somewhere. And that's what we do. We started somewhere. You know, you got to build relationships, network.
Yes.
You never know where it can lead.
Yeah. Yeah. And you have to be open and fluid with that. I mean, actually, I would even say, hey, you don't know where it leads, and that's good. That can be good. But also have your goal in mind. Like, what's your end point? So that while you're going with the flow, you're not going with the flow that's going off in a completely other direction that has nothing to do with what you want to do. But if you stay kind of focused on the direction that you want to go and have, you know, be open to the things on that path, that'll help carry you to your end point. But you got to decide what the end point is or the point that you're going towards. Because if you don't, you might go off the rails. And I can personally attest to that. Yeah. If you don't haven't made a decision of focus, you may go some places that are unintended that you didn't really want to go. And then you have to spend a lot of time and energy getting back on track.
Yeah, we're not going to segue into what that was, because, you know, I ain't about getting deep into nobody's business. Now, they choose to say it, that's up to them, but this ain't no investigative 48 hours.
Yeah, I'm not trying to go there, because there are so very, very many that I could go. So, yeah. No, that's a general statement of love to everybody. It's like, make a decision on where you want to go. And, you know, you can always change your mind. I'm not saying that, you know, once you decide that you got to stay there. But making the decision gives you a focal point. And the focal point is what's important. And you can change your focal point, and that's cool. But it's the difference between focus on purpose versus just by default. And when you let things go by default, they can just go wherever they want to go. And it, like I said, it may be someplace unintended for you, or me or whoever. So yeah. Anyway, that's my little two cents on that. I'm very big on that right now. So,
and I believe that you needed to get that out because I felt like somebody, whoever that somebody is, might needed to hear that, and they're gonna hear it when this episode drops because you out here dropping gems. You know, so I'm just throwing you the ball and you slam dunking right now. So, because like I'm telling you, when your bandmates, whenever they hear about this episode and they listen and they see how you were showing love to them. And then I'm showing them love also. I don't even know them, but I just love to love people. So, I ain't the type of person, I can't let you shout them out and then I'm not going to shout. They're going to get a double shout out. Get a double right. scoop of ice cream out here. So, you know, like I said, people, I feel like that's what I'm going to call it episode two. I'm going to call it episode roses because we out here giving people roses while they can still smell them. It is so important to do that because some people be doing all this dope stuff and then nobody give them the credit. That's why it's going to be called Rose. They ain't going to know what this episode is about when they see the title. They're like, roses? What's that? Listen in. That's what you're going to find out what roses is. That's what we out here doing. We out here giving shout outs. We showing love. We learning about everything under the sun. You know, okay, one thing also too, you know we in the panoramic and everything like that. I know it's the pandemic. I call it the panoramic.
But yeah.
Through the panoramic, right, what has kept you busy and what do you miss doing before the panoramic?
Well, that's a very interesting question because before I came back to St. Louis for a bit because I needed to like re-gear and get some other things started. And then last February, I was back in LA for a few weeks. And like literally 2 weeks after I got back to St. Louis, everything shut down. And I had planned to go back to LA last summer. But, yeah. You know, there's kind of no use and there was no. Yeah. So during that time, well, before it started, I was getting focused on creating some entities online.
Right.
What I like to call digital real estate. And that was something I was very focused on doing. Then everything shut down. And actually I was going to start doing print on demand t-shirts, like some t-shirts and clothes and some cool stuff like that. And then the pandemic hit and I decided that probably wasn't an awesome thing to start since a whole bunch of people lost their jobs and probably didn't have like that kind of cash to spend. That was unfortunately me kind of dealing in lack with a kind of a fixed mindset. So, but that is what it is. The result of that though, is I dove really deep into marketing funnels, sales funnels, which is a whole process of acquiring customers. And for a long time, I've been interested and kind of passively researching like ways that musicians can make more money or, you know, just have other streams of income. That's what it is. It's about having streams of income. Because what happens with musicians a lot of times, and it varies, and I've been in LA, so I know a lot of LA musicians, so that might be a little bit different than musicians in the rest of the country. You know what I mean? Just because it's LA or LA and New York. And you know, Nashville and Chicago kind of splattered in there too. But for the most part, just generally speaking, musicians make their money off of gigs, playing gigs, and giving lessons. I'm generalizing because, you know, a lot of musicians do other things. Some are composers, you know, some do other things in music, but in a very general way, playing gigs and or teaching. And that always seemed to me, well, it was partly my downfall in it, but I always wanted to know or figure out, it's like, how can musicians have other streams of income? There has to be a way. There must be a way. So that was part of the kind of, I guess, thought in the back of my mind. And so I explored this and I got into this whole marketing thing, which I got interested in like 10 years ago and have kind of dabbled in it on and off. But, you know, last year when the pandemic hit, I dove in like hard, like all the way deep entrepreneur, online, digital marketing, all the way. So I forgot exactly what your question was, but that's what I've been doing more than anything this past year, is really getting that together and assembling the wheels of the machine, because it's a giant engine. And, you know, some people take, you know, certain paths, some people have different parts of the engine. For example, you've got a podcast. A podcast is a part of that engine if you want it to be, because you can build an audience and, you know, you can suggest things that you believe are awesome, that you use, that that your audience may also be interested in. So, yeah, it's a whole mechanism. You know how, basically, I guess a short way of explaining it is, part of it is being an influencer in a way. And, you know, there are micro influencers and then there are, you know, huge influencers like, what's her name? Kardashian, one of them.
Yeah.
Where, you know, they can drop a name of some product and they make literally millions of dollars for saying it. But yeah, everybody. I'm trying to choose my words carefully. With focus and with intention and putting the pieces in place properly, there's a way for people to build their engine if they choose to. And I've been exploring that. Unfortunately, I get very distracted and I look at all of the parts of the engine. So I know a whole bunch of stuff. And I have a bunch of the toys and I try to play in all of the toys at the same time. And that's actually my problem. that's my problem with the engine and why my engine kind of like clunks along a little bit. But like, people who focus on one thing have a much better, I'm losing my words, way to get the engine going. Because it's about building your audience. That's what it is. And that's what you're doing. Building your audience. And folks like to hear what you have to say. And like your morning show, you send love to people every day. That's awesome. And people will follow you because of that and listen to you and trust you and believe in you. And it's like, oh, yeah, I like that guy. You know what I mean?
I definitely appreciate the roses. You know, I don't be expecting them, but I definitely appreciate it. Because, you know, people need to be able to believe in somebody.
Yeah.
And if they can't believe in you, like, say they never saw me, right? Say I did all audios where you never saw my face. You would always say to yourself, who is this guy? I hear about him. I don't see him. But because I'm putting a face with the voice, it makes you feel like that you know me. Mm-hmm. I've had people, you know, text me through the, you know, Facebook and everything. You know, they'll DM me something, you know. And whether I know you or not, I'm going to respond because I'm a human being. You know, I'm not going to not respond because you text me something and I don't know you. I'm going to respond. It might be a situation where that response might have to be needed, you know. And it's always from people that I don't know, which is cool. I like that. You know, I like talking to people I don't know. Because you never know. You might say something to that person, make them have a better day.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You can, like, just with a few words, you might be able to say, change, like, the direction of that person's day for the better, which is beautiful.
And it go both ways, because they can say something to you, and it can turn your day around.
Absolutely.
Just because you are the encourager don't mean you don't need encouragement. You need it also. You might yes. need it more than them because you got to pour from somewhere. You can't yeah. pour if your cup empty. I don't be trying to get too deep, but it just be in me.
Yeah.
I do it without even trying. My friends be like, here he come. Yes, here I come. Yes.
Yes, indeed. You know?
You better be glad it's somebody like me around. Somebody has to be the checker.
And you know, when you put that out there, it increases your chance of receiving it. You know, it ends up being a reflection. I mean, and the same happens for negative stuff. You put negative stuff out there, it gets reflected back to you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, when you put out love, it's easier to receive love.
You know, speaking of love, it took all the way to the pandemic for me to start this journey.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because I was at home one day and I thought about it. And I was like, you know what? Well, the morning show came out of nowhere, but the podcast was always there. And mm-hmm. I was just like, that came to me in a dream. And I couldn't shake it. So that's how that got emerged. That's how that baby got born. But I wanted to start it with somebody, but that didn't turn out well. So they didn't want to do it. And you can't force nobody's hand.
Right.
But at the end of the day, we here. So, and not only are we here, we two podcasts in. A lot of people be telling me, why are you doing it? Because I want to. You know, I don't have to do I think they're looking at it like it is a lot of content because you're recording, you know, on both platforms, which is fine. I mean, I don't talk about the same thing on both. So it's not like you're hearing the same thing. Tune in on this side, you hear this. You tune in on this side, you're like, oh, I like how you're doing that. Then you get the motivation in the morning. I'm a three-headed serpent. You don't know what you're going to get with me. So, and I like the formula like that because it keeps me busy. If I didn't do nothing all day besides do my video in the morning, do some recordings, and then edit and all that other stuff, it would be a busy day. That's just doing that. That's not even including nothing else, which would be fine with me. I'd be happy if I was to get enough streams to make some revenue out of it. So it will eventually get there.
I would actually say, just sorry to interject.
No,
it's not
fine.
About
you're
having
fine.
Enough streams, if I'm hearing you right, is all you need is, honestly, you just need the one stream and build that up and build it up and build it up and build your following. And you can, you know, get that one to the point where it starts generating revenue. Yeah. But, you know, the more of them you have, the more that you may be able to have multiple streams. But it ends up being a lot of content that you have to create and stay on. So that's what makes it tricky. So if you put all of your energy into just one or two, you can give your highest quality of content because that's what you're focused on.
And that's the thing, you know, because I had a friend of mine tell me the other day, she was really asking my advice because she was thinking about she wanted to do a podcast. And I said, oh, that's so cool. Go ahead and do it. I'm going to always encourage you to do what you think is on your mind.
Right.
But she was like, no, I want you to do it with me. I'm like, oh, no, I can't. I don't have time.
Yeah.
I said, thank you for the offer, but where would I fit it in? You know, I don't mean to crush your dreams, but I do a lot of recording now.
Yeah.
Like, and you think just because you don't see me don't mean I ain't recording.
Right.
That might be the reason you don't see me. You got to you got to put this stuff in time. Like, you know, you got to put it in place and what matters. And, you know, I even asked her, I said, well, do you have a name for it? Do you even have a day you would think you would want to do it? You have to factor in all this stuff before you bring this proposal to me. You just can't say, oh, I want to do a podcast. And I said, what you want to talk about? Because then you might want to talk about something I might not want to talk about. And now we have a conflict of interest. I'm not going to do it if I can't talk about it.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot, you know, a lot goes into a podcast.
It does.
A lot can go into a podcast. Like, with my podcast, there's so much more that I could be doing, that I need to be doing to make my podcast better and to the level that I know that it can be. Because I'm not even close right now. I'm not even close. But, yeah, there's so much you can do. And you know, you can... Like, for example, and I don't know any, there are just tons of, just look at some person's big podcast and, you know, go to their podcast page, see what kind of notes they have, all the stuff that they have. And a lot of those really big podcasts, you know, they've got a couple of people working for them. So you have someone, if they're doing video with it too, you've got someone who's editing video. You've got someone who's editing your audio. You have someone creating the notes for you. You know, you've got like these people.
It's a whole team.
All of those things. But when you're doing it by yourself.
Yeah, it's a whole team.
It's a whole thing that takes a lot of time. It's awesome. But, you know, and once you get systems into place, that helps. But it's still a lot of work.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I feel like, to me, I feel like before I can get the systems in place, I want to build the team. That way you can take some of that stress off of you. You don't have to worry about, especially once you find, say you want to start recording the studio. Because I wanted to do that, but then I couldn't find the right studio. I found studios, but I couldn't find the studio that I wanted to do what I wanted them to do. Because I had a list of things that I wanted. And I actually found the studio that did everything I wanted them to do, but it was too far from my house. So,
right.
And I was like, oh, and I was talking to the guy that owned the studio. He was like, well, man, maybe you can come down here and maybe we could do 4 episodes back to back. And I'm like, I can't plan like that. I can't do 4 episodes back to back.
Right. And it makes it even trickier. Like if you've got guests, like scheduling that, it could be like,
yeah, it could be crazy. You know, like you'd be so hoarse. You wouldn't even be able to say nothing. You trying to do 4 episodes.
Yeah. That's a lot.
What if every episode was an hour?
So right.
You ain't ate nothing. You ain't stopped. You to go to the bathroom. You fatigued.
Right.
But
I'm not even doing, because you're doing interviews and stuff like that. I haven't even, I have a couple of people in mind that I've actually kind of already asked. They're lined up. I just haven't gotten it together enough. Like right now, my podcasts are between 10 and 20 minutes for the most part. I don't really go past that because it's just me talking. So, you know, that's, but you know, something you could do.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's a whole other thing. Like I said, there's so many different ways that you can do a podcast too. Tricky and cool at the same time. Because, like, you can have a setup at your house, get some microphones, a mixer, and record, and then you can send the file to somebody else to edit for you. So then you can do it on your own schedule, but then, you know, have someone else deal with the other part.
Yeah.
But then that's a whole thing, though, to like get all that in place. So
yeah, that's why I said it's more of, like I said, getting the team. Like I said, that's the main reason why I want that team in place. That way, you got this person responsible. Say you research certain topics every episode. Now you got somebody responsible doing that. Then. Right. You got somebody responsible for the editing. And then what if you got to take pictures and everything like that? You got somebody doing the photography. And then what if you got music? Now you got somebody doing the music. You got a music director. But this is all, I'm thinking way, way ahead. So, but yeah. A lot of
the, and you can build those up piece by piece.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's why, like, even with all the big podcasts, they have those systems in place because they have people that and so many people that work with them, you have all those people moving. And that's where I got all these ideas from, because I was like, they're doing all that and the machine is moving well.
Yeah. Yeah.
The quality and everything, like, it's, you know, and the podcast that I like the most, I hope to be on one day. And I keep saying it that way, you know, one day maybe
it'll speak happen. It into existence.
Yeah.
Speak it into an existence.
And yeah. I already follow all of them on social media. So, like, you know, when they be posting stuff, you know, I send my comments or whatever. And they all cool dudes. I could see me hanging with them because I'm one of them dudes too. Like, yeah. We could talk about whatever. So I already know the conversation would be dope. I just got to get into a place where they can say, you know what? We've been seeing this dude. He been doing his thing. We got to have him on.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just those matters of fact. And,
yeah, it's just, you know, putting the piece together.
Yeah.
Pieces together, you know, a little piece here. Like, just starting off, maybe, you know, as far as, you know, like getting the people in, whatever, maybe it's just getting somebody who's an assistant who kind of knows a bit about everything. And that's just somebody to help you. And it can start there. And, you know, that can be someone that, you know, you works for you 2 or 5 hours a week, because that's 2 or 5 hours of work for your podcast that you don't have to do then. it seems like, you know, 2 or 5 hours, it doesn't seem like very much on one hand, but when you're doing a podcast and all of the parts that you have going into that, 2 or 5 hours is a lot. Person can do a lot of things for you in that amount of time.
And that's what I'm saying, like, being the host is a lot, but if you can just focus on just being the host, because you're the face, so if you can just focus on just doing that, it'll make things so much smoother. But then you out here, it take, like I said, now you out here trying to do research, then you trying to promote, then you up late trying to do this, and you know,
and then you're editing and and it just, yeah.
So it definitely, because I got a friend, she said that somebody else edits her podcast. She said she sends it to somebody and she said they have it done the same day. Only thing about that is you just got to get it done in a certain time frame. But what if, like, sometimes I'll be last minute with it. So,
yeah,
I don't want to be, and that's the only thing about it. Now you got to switch everything you're doing. So now you got to not be last minute. But sometimes it's not up to you. Sometimes you got to work around your person at your interview schedule. So say you're trying to get done on Monday, but they can't do it till Tuesday. You're already behind the eight ball. So,
yeah. See, and yeah. That right there is the whole thing. Again, I'm not, I don't have guests yet. I'm just, you know, trying for just myself. I'm like having enough trouble with just me, like staying on schedule. But then, yeah, you add somebody else to the mix, or somebody that you're scheduling. But then that's when, you know, having multiple people schedule back to back and kind of getting that in line and just working with your editor on scheduling and just say, you know, I'll have X number of files to you by whatever day, and, you know, they'll deliver however that works out. But yeah, editing is interesting because it can be, depending on what you're doing with your podcast and, you know, the circumstances under which you're recording, sometimes editing can be super easy.
Yeah.
You know, like with me by myself, honestly, my editing is pretty easy because I can, you know, because it's just me, I pretty much like trim the beginning, trim the end. If I say a lot, I cut some of those out, and that's pretty much it. No big deal.
And that's the thing, you know, whether it be your assistant or your, I think you having the manager, well, whether you got an assistant or the manager, most of the time they both can play the same role. But I would say if you got a manager, then people, like, say people reaching out to your manager getting back with you, hey, this person want to have you on the show. Oh, for real? What day they want to do it? Oh, no, I'm not good that day. Tell them find another day. And then y'all, you know, y'all going back and forth about that. But like I said, managers don't work for free. You got to pay them. So.
Yeah. Which means then you have to have those other systems in place where you're generating revenue. Yeah. Or you just got the cash to pay them. But you're producing income from your what you have going already. Or, you know, you may find a manager that, like, is somebody that just wants to get into it. And, you know, they may say, hey, I'll, you know, start off with you for free. I don't know. It depends on the person. Depends on what their goals are. Yeah. And it depends on, obviously, on what you want. Yeah. But sometimes those people are out there, and sometimes they're really good. They just haven't had a shot yet. So,
Well, I'm definitely looking for them. So, if you know anybody, send them my way. And if you still know them, send them my way. Because, you know, I'm taking interviews. Interviews for the rest of the year.
Yes, yes. And yeah, you know, managers are an interesting thing. And, you know, again, knowing what your end goal is helpful in finding your manager, and knowing, you know, what kind of people you vibe with, which clearly you do. You know folks that you vibe with, but, you know, managers. I've never personally had a manager, but I've worked with managers, and I have friends that are managers. A good manager. I think a good manager can be everything. Like, really, they can be everything.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. That's why I want to be able to have that. I want that just to know that I'm always taken care of in that regard. So if I meet the person and we figure out what I want to do, let's move forward. And we both got that same goal in mind. Like, you are out here trying to make sure that I have the best of whatever situation I'm in. And I'm always being honest with you. Let's lock in.
Right. Right, right. Yeah,
One more thing I got to ask you. So, the time is winding down. I do not want this to go. I don't want this to get erased. So,
right.
I want to say thank you for joining me on the couch, and I want you to let people know where they can follow you at.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for reaching out to me to do this.
You're welcome.
I really, really, really appreciate it, and, you know, I love talking with you.
No doubt.
You're a very good conversationalist, so I appreciate that.
Thank you.
I'm kind of... I'm on Facebook. I got .com musician, the .com musician, which is one of my Facebook pages. April Fletcher. So I got that going. I'm on Clubhouse now under April Fletcher. Instagram, April Fletcher, April_Fletcher. So yeah, you can pretty much, once you like click into one, there's probably a link someplace that talks about the other places. I'm getting, I was telling you this earlier, I just got on the Clubhouse, so I'm just kind of learning it, and that takes some time, but it's an awesome place. I need to be on Facebook and IG more, but I get unfocused, and then, you know, but I also get very shy. I'm weirdly introverted. I know we're counting down. I'm like babbling on. But anyway, I get very introverted online, weirdly. So, but I'm learning. I'm getting better. I'm a little shy. I'm better at talking, but I'm shy on there. So. But yeah, it's I really, really appreciate you for, you know, giving me a shout and connecting and sending me that message, because it's awesome. And you reaching out to people and saying, hey, to interview, that's That's beautiful and great.
Well, I thank you again. I really do appreciate you.
Well, you are welcome. You're very welcome.